Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Biden, It's Time to End Party Drama, by Lisa Mascaro, Associated Press, Washington. President Joe Biden, in an open letter to congressional Democrats, stood firm Monday against calls for him to drop his reelection candidacy and called for an end to the intraparty drama that has torn apart Democrats since his dismissal public debate performance. Biden's efforts to shore up a deeply anxious Democratic Party came as lawmakers returned to Washington confronting a choice, work to revive his campaign to try to edge out the party leader or make or break time for his campaign and their own political futures. Biden wrote in a two-page letter that the question of how to move forward has been well aired for over a week now, and it's time for it to end. He stressed that the party has one job, which is to defeat presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump in November. We have 42 days to the Democratic convention and 119 days to the general election, Biden said in the letter distributed by his reelection campaign. Any weakening of resolve or lack of clarity about the task ahead only helps Trump and hurts us. It's time to come together, move forward as a unified party, and defeat Donald Trump. Anxiety is running high as top-ranking Democratic lawmakers are joining calls for Biden to step aside despite his defiance. At the same time, some of the president's most staunch supporters are redoubling the fight for Biden's presidency, insisting there's no one better to beat Trump in what many see as among the most important elections of a lifetime. Biden followed up with a letter with a phone interview with MSNBC's Morning Joe show, in which he insisted that average Democrats want him to stay in the race and said he was frustrated by the calls from party officials for him to step aside. They're big names, but I don't care what those big names think, Biden said. He threw the gauntlet at his critics, saying if they're serious, they ought to announce for president, challenge me at the convention, or rally behind him against Trump later. Biden joined a call with members of his National Finance Committee while First Lady Jill Biden campaigned for her husband in a three-state swing focused on engaging veterans and military families. For all the talk out there about this race, Joe has made it clear that he's all in. He told a military crowd in Wilmington, North Carolina, that the decision he has made, and just as he always supported my career, I am all in too. Democratic voters are split on whether Biden should remain the Democratic Party's nominee for president or whether there should be a different Democratic nominee, according to a New York Times Siena College poll. More voices spoke up Monday, including the chair of the House's Congressional Progressive Caucus, Representative Pramila Jayapal, who was not ready to cast aside Biden, saying that the threat of a second Trump presidency remains too high, yet one of the most endangered Democrats this election cycle, Senator John Tester of Montana, said in a statement, President Biden has got to prove to the American people, including me, that he's up to the job for another 4 years. However, Biden's letter left some House Democrats who want to hear directly from Biden himself furious, according to one House aide granted anonymity to discuss the situation. Lawmakers particularly bristled at being cast out of touch with voters since representatives in particular have been home in their districts listening to voters. Biden planned to meet virtually Monday with the Congressional Black Caucus, one of his staunchest blocks of reporters in Congress. The White House would not say whether Biden would meet with all Democratic lawmakers in person at the Capitol this week. Meanwhile, Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said Biden had undergone 3 neurological exams while in the White House as part of his annual physical exams and no more, and said the president has not been diagnosed with or treated for Parkinson's. It's a tenuous and highly volatile juncture for the president's party. Democrats who have worked alongside Biden for years, if not decades, and cherished his life's work on policy priorities, are now entertaining uncomfortable questions about his political future, and it's unfolding as Biden hosts world leaders for the NATO summit this week in Washington. The drama is played out with just over a month until the Democratic National Convention and just a week before Republicans gather in Milwaukee to re-renominate Trump as their presidential pick. Many Democrats are arguing the attention needs to be focused not on Biden, but on the former president's felony conviction in the hush money case and pending federal charges in his effort to overturn the 2020 election. In an effort to get on the same page, House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries is convening lawmakers for private meetings before he shows his own preference, according to a person familiar with the situation and granted anonymity to discuss it. He planned to gather on Monday some Democrats whose bids for re-election are most vulnerable. A private call Sunday, including some 15 top House committee members, exposed the deepening divide as at least four more Democrats, Representative Gerald Nadler of New York, Representative Jim Hines of Connecticut, Representative Adam Smith of Washington State, and Representative Mark Takano of Florida, privately said Biden should step aside. Many on the call raised concerns about Biden's capability and chance of winning re-election, even if they stopped short of saying Biden should step out of the race. But other members, including Representative Maxine Waters of California and Representative Bobby Scott of Virginia, both leaders in the Congressional Black Caucus, spoke forcefully in support of Biden, as did Representative Richard Neal of Massachusetts, the top Democrat on the Powerful Ways and Means Committee. While some deep-pocketed donors may be showing discomfort, strategists working on House and Senate races said they have posted record fundraising as donors view congressional Democrats as a firewall and last line of defense against Trump.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, July 8th. World-class local jiu-jitsu gym having big success. The story was written by James Keith. Managing a martial arts-based gym can often be a challenging endeavor, requiring both high-level instruction and black belt-level business sense. Odessans Josh Olive and Ruben Hernandez have found success building a community-based Brazilian jiu-jitsu gym, helping students to participate in competitions across the country while leading classes in what they consider to be a world-class facility. Partnering together in 2019, Olaf and Hernandez purchased Vagabond Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu from former owner Clay Hance with hopes of creating a gym that would enrich others' lives and build a strong community. Olaf, who was a member of Vagabond before purchasing the business, said the opportunity was a perfect storm, and soon after set a goal of relocating and building a new facility. Quote, "It took us a couple of years between purchasing the land and getting it built, and obviously we couldn't do it without the community we have that pays their dues and memberships," Olive said. "That's how we were able to do this and establish a world-class facility in West Texas," end quote. Olaf said since taking over Vagabond, the number of members has grown from around 100 to almost 400. Olaf said managing the business and profit side of Vagabond is the same as any other small business. Quote, "We treat Vagabond just as seriously as any other business. It's not a hobby for Ruben and I. This is our living, and so we treat it as such," Olaf said. "It's really no different compared to any other business," end quote. Inside the facility, training and instruction are led by Ruben Hernandez, who started practicing jiu-jitsu in 2007. Hernandez says he enjoys the localized feel of the gym and thrives to accommodate everyone's goals. Quote, "We rely on the community. We have to make each other better because we don't have other opportunities like other big places," Hernandez said. "We have to build the people here, and we have to take care of the people here," end quote. Hernandez says it is important to try and make training goal-oriented over anything else, and that jiu-jitsu is not about the journey or destination, but who someone becomes on their journey. This practice has shown results, as Vagabond has garnered 2 International Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Federation Master World Champions, 4 American National Champions, and 2 Master International Champions. While Vagabond has found success on a business and instruction front, on an instructor-to-student level, Hernandez says he tries to help students prepare and brace for inevitable failures. Quote, "Whether someone meets their goal or not, it's not as important as that," Hernandez said. "As long as you had a goal, you're better off, and that's how we try to handle losses. There's days when you're gonna feel worse or better, but as long as you're setting a goal and working towards it, you're making progress," end quote. ODC UTPB Project on Council's Agenda. The story was written by Kim Smith. On Tuesday night, the Odessa City Council will have to decide if it wants the Odessa Development Corporation to be part of a $2 million project with UTPB, Permian Strategic Partnership, and the Midland Development Corporation that could help close workforce gaps. According to materials provided to the council, the Permian Basin is going to need an extra 190,000 workers, including 38,000 people with bachelor's degrees. UTPB, the ODC Board, MDC, and Permian Strategic Partnership think it would be a good idea to have ongoing statistical analysis done so they can identify gaps, figure out how to close the gaps, and track their progress. The cost of the 2-year project will be roughly $2 million, and ODC's portion would be $819,000. Also on Tuesday's regular meeting agenda, accepting a 3.85-acre park that's been developed by Lico Properties and the Odessa Parks Foundation in the Desert Ridge subdivision. Signing off on a $2.1 million economic development performance agreement with Orex Plastics. Passing an ordinance for the sale of old Fire Station No. 6 to Town and Country Drug. During the council's earlier work session meeting at 3 p.m., City Manager John Beckmeyer will bring the council up to date on upcoming water distribution and water valve projects. They will also discuss amending the police department's contract with Axon for an additional $90,000. Axon provides such things as body-worn cameras and a records management system to the department. Council members will also continue discussing term limits and prohibiting former mayors from becoming council members. New exhibit takes visitors through the thrill of victory, agony of defeat. The story was written by Michael Bauer. For many people, sports can be more than an activity. It's almost a religion. That can be evident from the many different athlete expressions in the Ellen Noel Art Museum's current exhibition, The Perfect Shot, Walter Ayos Jr., and the Art of Sports Photography. The exhibition, which illustrates the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, is currently on display at the Ellen Noel Art Museum's temporary location at the Presidential Archives until August 11th. Museum hours are 12 to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday and 12 to 8 p.m. on Thursdays. The museum is closed on Mondays and holidays. Over his extensive career, photographer Walter Ayos Jr. has worked with some of the greatest athletes of the past 60 years, capturing the moments of triumph and defeat that athletes and non-athletes know well. The exhibition is organized into 5 sections of universal emotions: anticipation, perseverance, triumph, disappointment, and reflection. These sections allow visitors to find the common threads that transcend athletic genres and athletes. Quote, "This exhibit takes you through 5 different emotions, typically related to both humanity and in sports," Ellen Noel, Associate Curator and Registrar Colton Manchester said. Continuing the quote, "Looking through those 5 emotions, Walter gives us an opportunity to feel the emotions that we had when we played sports, but also the universal human emotions," end quote. Born in 1943, Ios cultivated his passion for photography from an early age. He shot his first roll of film at the age of 16 during a New York Giants game with his father. A few short years later, he landed his first cover for Sports Illustrated in 1963. Ios established himself a prolific photographer for the magazine and photographed the first 53 Super Bowls. His work has been featured on over 300 covers. Quote, "The significance of this exhibit, Walter Ios Jr., has been in the world of photography forever," Manchester said. "Everyone loves him, and his photos have been on magazine covers since he was 17. Being able to bring this to Odessa is great, considering this community has a rich sports tradition, especially with football. It's amazing to share the beauty and the work of Walter Ios with the community," end quote. Some of his famous photos that are featured in the exhibit include baseball legend Sandy Koufax, Michael Jordan, and one that Dallas Cowboys fans probably would like to forget, the famous The Catch photo of San Francisco 49ers receiver Dwight Clark in the NFC Championship game in January 1982 at Candlestick Park. Manchester said the exhibit has received a positive reception from guests. Quote, "It's been great," Manchester said. "We had an older couple that came to see this exhibit, and they were around to see some of these moments while they were happening. To see locals come in and connect with these moments in time is incredible," end quote. The exhibit is not just for those who are sports fanatics or those interested in sports photography. Quote, "This isn't an exhibit purely about sports photography," Manchester said. "Even if you don't feel passionate about certain sports or sports photography, you're going to find things to connect to this exhibit. This is art in the way that displays human emotion. It's something we can all relate to," end quote. If you go, what? The perfect shot, Walter Ios Jr., and the art of sports photography. When? On display until August 11th. Where? Ellen Noel Art Museum, the Presidential Archives. Once a Bronco, always a Bronco. The story was written by Jerry Casey. The Odessa High Class of 1974 held their 50-year reunion June 21st and 22nd with 157 people attending. "We had 107 classmates and 50 spouses. When the planning started, I wanted to bring the spirit of Odessa High to the reunion. Odessa High did not disappoint. I reached out to Mrs. Chiquisha Dawson, OHS athletic clerk. She was amazing. Mrs. Dawson supported our reunion by offering information, supplying athletic giveaways such as small footballs, water bottles, etc." Galilea Pineda, Odessa High cheer coach, supported our reunion by having the cheerleaders give our class a tour of Odessa High. "We had 90 people scheduled to attend. The Odessa High School cheerleaders also brought that Broncos spirit to our dinner at the Marriott. They entered the room with the fight song playing. They performed a cheer and ended leading us in the school song. We all felt we went back in time and felt that Broncos spirit once again. Odessa High may have changed over the 50 years since we graduated, but the support we received from the school made us feel like we were still a part of the school. We had all of our 1974 cheerleaders in attendance at their reunion and took a picture with the Odessa High cheerleaders. Officer of the Year honored by recognition. Vanessa Flores has always worked hard and gone the extra mile, but she was still taken aback to be chosen Officer of the Year for Ector County ISD. Stationed at George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa, Flores's campuses also include Odessa Collegiate Academy and OC Techs. She just completed 6 years with the district. Quote, "I feel very honored because with us, my colleagues, my partners, are the ones that vote you in. In the beginning, they send out a list of names, and they're the ones that vote you in," she added. "I like to help out when I can, not expecting anything in return, but I felt very happy," end quote. Flores said she feels she's always been a hard worker. This is the first year she was assigned to a campus like NTO, which is pretty quiet. Quote, "I've always been at busy schools, so I've always worked hard. I always go the extra mile, and this year I was also given the opportunity to become one of the internal affairs investigators, so I've been working on a lot of backgrounds for new hires. I just completed two this past week that I submitted on June 17th, Flores said. In internal affairs, she would also investigate a complaint against an officer. When she was told she would be placed at NTO, Flores said she was upset because the campus was so calm. She was used to writing 6 or 7 reports a day. But now, when she sometimes goes to the middle schools, she's glad to be on a smaller campus. She got to know her juniors and seniors and build relationships without them being in trouble. Quote, "It was real different, very smart kids," Flores said. The only issue she's had is with criminal trespass when students sneak in from other campuses. Quote, "I love it because, like I said, it's so small that they know who belongs here and who doesn't," Flores said. A South Texas transplant, she worked for the Penitas Police Department in the Rio Grande Valley. Her husband, Leroy, came to Odessa to work in the oil field. He now works for the ECISD Police Department as well. Quote, "I came up here to work in the oil field, and then on my vacation break, I came up to visit him. During the day, I was bored while he was at work, so I went to the mall, and that's where I met Lieutenant Terry Upchurch and Lieutenant Chauncey Westfall. I found it strange that it was such a small mall for it to have officers, because where we're from, it's a big mall and there's no officers. So I approached them. I was like, 'So what do you all do?' They explained to me, but then they told me they worked for the school district. They explained that that was an off-duty gig," Flores said. She introduced herself and said she was an officer too. They said ECISD was hiring officers, and they explained the hours and the days off, which sounded good to her. Quote, "I went back home. I thought about it. I put in an application, and here I am. I ended up moving here," Flores said. She and Leroy have 4 children. They are first-generation law enforcement. They don't have family in the field. Quote, I have one daughter who is currently at Texas A&M. She wanted to be a doctor all her life. She graduated top 3 last year from Permian High School, so now she's going into forensics. She went over there because of forensics, Flores said. Flores has been in law enforcement for 13 years. But she wasn't always a police officer. With a bachelor's degree from University of Texas Pan American, she started off as a pre-kindergarten teacher and has taught kindergarten, first and second grade. She taught middle school as well, but didn't like it. She heard stories from the younger kids about abuse, and that's what pointed her toward law enforcement. Quote, I wanted to make sure that they got the consequences. I couldn't handle little ones telling me this and took a major turn. I'm the only female with 4 older brothers. When I told my parents, they were like, what, you're a girl? I went when I was in my 30s to the police academy. They're like, you're a female, you're short, you're too nice, you're not going to make it, Flores recalled. But it was something she wanted to do. She made it, and one of the first cases she investigated was a child being sexually assaulted. At first, they thought it was the mother's boyfriend, but it turned out it was the maternal grandfather. Her reports are very thorough and detailed because she wants to make sure the charges stick. So far, she's never been called to court. Quote, since then, I treated every case as an investigation, as if it were going to go to court. Even the simplest things now, I make sure that I have all my information gathered, all my facts, to make sure it's going to stick. Even on information reports, my lieutenants have told me, you write a lot. I'm like, you never know. I like to go back just in case, because you never know if these information cases are going to go somewhere, Flora said. As a side note, her office at NTO has sports bobbleheads, vehicles, ducks, and Selena memorabilia. ECISD Police Chief Jeff Daniels said Flores is very deserving of the award. Quote, Vanessa is an outstanding officer. Every campus she's worked, she's developed great relationships with the students and staff. She is a perfect example of an officer who strives to be the best in her position. She is a true asset to ECISD and the department, Daniel said. Human trafficking. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. There are some topics that I feel are so important to discuss that I bring them up regularly. Last week I did that with drownings and kids left in hot cars. This week, I am going to revisit another important topic, human trafficking. Human trafficking is a modern term for one of the worst crimes that humans can perpetuate against another. Human trafficking is slavery. As much as I would like to think that slavery was eradicated in this country nearly 160 years ago with the Emancipation Proclamation, it wasn't. It just became illegal at that point. The abomination of slavery continues to exist. We just call it by a different name. Human trafficking is something we all need to be aware of and fight against to stop. We have laws, but laws alone are not enough. The markets for human trafficked victims need to disappear, the victims need to be rescued, and the perpetrators need to be brought to justice. For that to happen, we all need to understand human trafficking at a level that allows us to recognize and report it. I hope by reminding you today of what human trafficking is, the numbers of people enslaved each year because of human trafficking, and the ways you can recognize human trafficking and report your suspicions, we can put a stop to human trafficking here in the basin and eventually the world. These statistics on human trafficking are frightening. I'm sure you understand most of these statistics are probably underestimates because the statistics relied largely on estimates from reports of trafficking survivors and arrests and convictions for trafficking. According to a 2024 statement to the U.S. Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, an estimated 27 million people are victims of human trafficking across the globe. Human trafficking is not an issue that is getting better, it's getting worse. Human trafficking has quadrupled since 2008. According to the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, there was a drop in identification of human trafficking during the pandemic, but experts feel that was not because of a decrease in actual trafficking, but because the pandemic made detection by law enforcement more difficult. Since the pandemic, volume has quickly increased back to pre-pandemic levels and is again increasing. The U.S. Department of Justice estimates 18,000 people were trafficked in the U.S. in 2023. Fewer than 4,000 arrests were made for human trafficking in 2023, and worse, only 638 people were convicted for this appalling crime last year. It is estimated that 1 in 6 of the children reported to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children in 2023 are victims of human trafficking. The U.S. Department of Justice categorizes human trafficking into 2 categories, sex trafficking and labor trafficking. I think most people think about sex trafficking when they think about human trafficking, but labor trafficking is a significant issue as well. The U.S. Department of Labor has actually identified 148 goods from 75 countries that were made by forced labor of adults and children. Please remember, while females are the majority of victims, there are a significant number of men and boys that are victims as well. 43% of human trafficking victims were adult women, 23% are adult men, 18% are girls under 18, and 17% are boys under 18. Human Trafficking Search, an organization dedicated to eradicating human trafficking, states that California leads the nation in human trafficking, followed by Texas and Florida. In Texas, most of the rescued victims are used for forced labor. Child sex trafficking is the second most common reason people are trafficked in Texas. The good news is Texas is fighting back. We have the highest reporting rates in the nation, and our state law enforcement and justice systems have been aggressively addressing human trafficking in planning and policymaking. There are several things we can all do to recognize and stop human trafficking. Teachers and school administrators need to watch for children with long strings of unexplained absences or sudden behavioral shifts, which can include dressing in expensive, provocative clothing, showing off expensive gifts, and talking about much older boyfriends. In hotels, traffickers won't have luggage, will decline to have housekeepers clean rooms, will pay in cash, and tend to ask for rooms near exits. I am so aware of trafficking because hospitals are one of the places that traffickers are most often discovered, and it is health issues that lead to those discoveries. Victims often suffer from violent abuse, have poorly maintained health, including malnutrition and hygiene issues, and have a lack of prenatal care and family support during childbirth. Human trafficking victims are often tattooed by their captors with mottos, symbols, or barcodes. Transportation hubs like bus stops, train stations, and airports are also places you may encounter human trafficking victims. Trafficked individuals generally behave in the same manner. They are fearful, avoidant, and overly reliant on someone who is domineering and very defensive of them. If you suspect human trafficking, please call the National Human Trafficking Hotline at 888-373-7888. You can send the text HELP to BE FREE 233733, or you can email help@humantraffickinghotline.org. Slavery was banned in this country nearly 160 years ago. Reporting human trafficking is the way we make sure that ban is real for every person in our community.
Letters from George Washington. As we gather with family and friends this July 4th to celebrate our nation's independence, it's important to reflect on the journey that brought us here. Our country's history is a testament to resilience, courage, and the enduring spirit of the American people. And central to this legacy is George Washington, a man whose life and leadership continue to inspire us. During the French and Indian War, a young George Washington displayed remarkable bravery and fortitude. In 1755, he was involved in the Battle of Monongahela, where British and colonial forces were ambushed. Amidst the chaos, Washington, then only a colonel with the Virginia militia, remained calm, rallying the troops and organizing a retreat that saved many lives. Miraculously, despite having two horses shot out from under him and four bullet holes through his coat, he remained unscathed. This led many to believe that he was under divine protection, a notion that Washington himself seemed to accept with humility. Fast forward a few decades to the American Revolution. Washington, now the commander-in-chief of the Continental Army, faced numerous challenges. One of the most significant was the Conway Cabal, a conspiracy among some senior officers and members of Congress to replace him with Major General Horatio Gates. Despite the political intrigue and attempts to undermine his authority, Washington's steadfast leadership and unwavering commitment to the cause of independence kept the army and the revolution intact. Washington's life and legacy remind us that America's foundation is built on overcoming adversity. His story is not just about personal valor, but also about the divine favor that seemed to guide him and, by extension, our fledgling nation. This sense of being under a protective providence is something that has been part of the American ethos from the very beginning. Today, our country faces its own set of challenges, from political divisions to social unrest, from economic uncertainties to global threats. It can sometimes feel as though we are more divided than united. Yet it is enduring these times of trial that we must remember the lessons of our past. No matter how difficult the circumstances, the American spirit endures. We are a nation that has weathered storms before. We have faced civil war, economic depression, and global conflicts. Each time we emerge stronger, driven by a belief in our core values of freedom, justice, and opportunity for all. This belief is not just a matter of faith in ourselves, but also in the idea that our country holds a special place in the world, a place under the watchful eye of Providence. As we celebrate this Independence Day, let us honor the legacy of George Washington and all those who have fought for the freedoms we enjoy today. In doing so, we acknowledge that while the path may not always be easy, we are guided by a higher purpose and blessed with a unique favor that has seen us through the darkest times. God bless Texas. Obituaries. George Wayne Freeman, age 70, of Odessa, died Sunday, June the 30th, in Odessa. Memorial services will be held at 1 p.m. August the 2nd. at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Alma Louise Bean Schiffer, age 97, died Saturday, June the 29th. Chapel service will be held at 10 a.m. July the 8th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Elmer Rutledge, age 82, of Odessa, passed away on June the 29th. A memorial service will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences may be sent online to acreswestfuneralhome.com. Odessa students volunteer more than 22,000 hours this school year. The Texas Scholars Program is a Chamber of Commerce workforce development program for high school students in partnership with ECISD Schools and Compass Academy. Community service hours are required to encourage students to expand their awareness of community needs and civic responsibilities. The objective is for students to gain insight by beginning to recognize and accept personal responsibility in meeting needs in Ector County. Overall, 674 Odessa students volunteered 22,646 hours this year. Since 1997, when the program started, students have volunteered 365,964 hours at participating agencies. Odessa student wins big at Texas State National Civics Bee. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce hosted the local National Civics Bee in April at UTPB. 89 area middle school students submitted written essays focused on identify a problem facing our community. The essays were judged by local community leaders, and the top 20 students were selected for the live event, which featured two rounds of a web-based quiz and a live final round featuring questions from the three local judges. Finalists, Dewick Reddy from Nimitz Middle School, Elijah Monez from St. John's Episcopal School, and Penelope Liendo from ISD's Young Women's Leadership Academy, placed in the top three, respectively, taking home cash prizes and moved forward to the state competition held in Dallas on June the 15th. These three students represented their communities well during all three rounds. St. John's student Elijah Manez took second place overall and won a major cash prize. We are so proud of all the students who participated in Dallas at the state level. Our three finalists represented our area well and can't wait to see this program grow in years to come, stated Renee Earls, president and CEO of the Odessa Chamber of Commerce. Special thanks to local sponsor Abel Hanger Foundation for their support for travel funds for the students and their families. Officer of the Year honored by recognition. Vanessa Flores has always worked hard and gone the extra mile, but she was still taken aback to be chosen Officer of the Year for Ector County ISD. Stationed at George H. W. Bush New Tech Odessa, Flores campuses also include Odessa Collegiate Academy and OC Techs. She just completed 6 years with the district. I felt very honored because with us, my colleagues, my partners, are the ones that vote you in. In the beginning, they send out a list of names, and they're the ones that vote you in, she added. I liked to help out when I can, not expecting anything in return, but I felt very happy. Flora says she feels she's always been a hard worker. This is the first year she was assigned to a campus like NTO, which is pretty quiet. I've always been at busy schools, so I've always worked hard. I always go the extra mile, and this year I was also given the opportunity to become one of the internal affairs investigators. So I've been working on a lot of backgrounds for new hires. I just completed two this past week that I submitted, Flores said. In internal affairs, she would also investigate a complaint against an officer. When she was told she would be placed at NTO, Flores said she was upset because the campus was so calm. she was used to writing 6 or 7 reports a day. But now, when she sometimes goes to the middle schools, she's glad to be on a smaller campus. She got to know her juniors and seniors and build relationships without them being in trouble. It was real different. Very smart kids, Flores said. The only issue she's had is with criminal trespass when students sneak in from other campuses. I love it because, like I said, it's so small that they know who belongs here and who doesn't, Flores said. A South Texas transplant, she worked for the Pintos Police Department in the Rio Grande Valley. Her husband, Leroy, came to Odessa to work in the oil field. He now works for the ICISD Police Department as well. Flores has been in law enforcement for 13 years, but she wasn't always a police officer. With a bachelor's degree from University of Texas Pan American, she started off as a pre-kindergarten teacher and has taught kindergarten, first and second grade. She taught middle school as well, but didn't like it. She heard stories from the younger kids about abuse, and that's what pointed her toward law enforcement. I wanted to make sure that they got the consequences. I couldn't handle the little ones telling me this and took a major turn. I'm the only female with 4 older brothers. When I told my parents, they were like, "What? You're a girl." I went when I was in my 30s to the police academy. They're like, "You're a female. You're short. You're too nice. You're not going to make it," Flores recalled. But it was something she wanted to do. She made it, and one of the first cases she investigated was of a child being sexually assaulted. At first, they thought it was the mother's boyfriend, but it turned out it was the maternal grandfather. Her reports are very thorough and detailed because she wants to make sure the charges stick. So far, she's never been called to court. ECISD Police Chief Jeff Daniels said Flores is very deserving of the award. Vanessa is an outstanding officer. Every campus she's worked, she's developed great relationships with the students and staff. She is a perfect example of an officer who strives to be the best in her position. She is a true asset to ECISD and the department, Daniel said. Remembering the Cost of Our Independence by William F. Holland, Jr., ordained and licensed Christian minister. This week we celebrated Independence Day, which is also commonly known as the 4th of July. It's a federal holiday commemorating America's independence from the British Empire, which over the past 250 years has maintained a public display of pride and patriotism. This past Sunday at church, we sang a heartfelt melody of patriotic songs that declared America. America, God shed his grace on thee. Glory, glory, hallelujah, his truth is marching on. And God bless the USA. There were American flags at every entrance with beautiful decorations. Many wore red, white, and blue to show their love and allegiance to this great nation. Why is it great? It is indeed a land filled with some of the most breathtaking landscapes on the planet, but it's the hard-working, courageous, and God-fearing people who love and obey his truth that makes living here a privilege and honor. July 4th is significant because it is the anniversary of the adoption of the Declaration of Independence by the Continental Congress, a governing body of delegates from the 13 original American colonies. The document officially declared the United States of America independence from British rule. It came nearly a month after Virginia delegate Richard Henry Lee proposed for the colonies to seek independence. The Declaration of Independence we know and love was largely written by Thomas Jefferson, while other members of Congress suggested edits and finally approved one of the most important documents in our history. The American Revolution was a war for independence, a conflict of self-defense fought by families and neighbors on American farms against a fierce enemy coming from an ocean away. It impacted millions from Vermont's Green Mountains to the swamps of South Carolina, from Indian Country to the Iberian Peninsula. In defeating the British Empire and giving birth to a new nation, the American Revolution made a huge impact on the world. 13 colonies on the Atlantic coast were victorious from being controlled by a constitutional monarchy. We rightfully celebrate how they won our independence and established a republic that still endures. Am I saying this country is perfect or that it is not guilty of horrible sins? Of course not. There are many areas where the desire for carnal freedom was and is being accepted by a confused legal system that could care less about God's moral standards. There are two types of freedom: a spiritual liberty to worship and obey the Almighty, and the aggressive pursuit of fleshly rights that defiantly shake their fist in his face. In recent years, liberal unbelievers have tried to destroy the founding documents, which were based on political principles and the Christian faith, and replace them with a new progressive culture of moral relativism. God will always judge sin, and nations are not an exception. He has blessed his remnant because they stand boldly to speak his truth, even while facing persecution. Psalm 33, verse 11 through 12 says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Of course, some rebel against being loyal to any government or nation and accuse those who do with being a nationalist. The Pledge of Allegiance is an example the dissidents and anarchists use to teach against obeying and entrusting governments. I'm not going into a lengthy explanation of this term, as there are so many thoughts about it, and scholars are not even sure what it means. I believe for the patriotic Christian, honoring the flag includes understanding that God requires for a nation to follow his voice. His children do not worship people or politics, but are praying and trusting that he will guide the government by his divine truth. In recent years, conservatives have been accused of being intolerant, discriminating, and prejudiced by declaring that America is the greatest country ever while looking down on everyone else. Some might feel this way, but I believe the overwhelming majority of patriots who love Christ love all people and respect their cultures, history, and traditions. There is nothing wrong with having a deep sense of appreciation for everything good in a nation, as long as it does not include the attitudes of arrogance associated with supremacy or hostility against those from other cultures. The God and country ideology is still very dear to most Americans and should be, as the red stripes of our flag represent valor and the precious blood of those who paid for our independence. Dr. Holland is an ordained Christian minister, chaplain, and author. Read more about the Christian life at billyhollandministries.com. Recharging your battery. We live in a world that operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have so many commitments in our lives, from work, family, school, home, and friends, that we often need more hours in a day to try to get things done. We are desperate to fit one more task in. Operating at these paces with this pressure can lead to feeling overwhelmed, stressed, irritable, exhausted, and anxious, to name just a few. Often, we forego time for ourselves and set other things as higher priorities. If we choose to do something involving self-care, thoughts can creep into our mind of being selfish or self-centered. Every night, most people make it a priority to charge their phone. If we forget or just don't, the phone shuts down and is not able to do the things we need it to do until we charge it again. Self-care is not a selfish act, but a time to recharge your battery so you can accomplish tasks and be a part of relationships in a positive way. Set time for yourself every day. It helps to be specific in your self-care goals, such as, "I will walk for 30 minutes before work every morning." Make it part of your daily routine. It helps to also have a list of self-care things you can choose from. Even if you don't have an hour to devote to self-care, a few minutes is better than none. Take care of yourself. You're worth it. If you or a loved one needs counseling, psychiatric, or medication management, call Samaritan Center at 432-563-4144. Event will raise funds for Odessa Swim Club. The water has always been good to Brian Schroeder. As a child, he grew up near a neighborhood pool and started competitive swimming at 5 years old. He would become a lifeguard and teach the occasional swim lesson as a teenager. When it was time to go to college, Schroeder took a chance and left his hometown of Sugar Land to join the men's swim team at the University of Texas at the Permian Basin, where he would meet his future wife, Kelly, who was then a member of the women's swim team. Now, Schroeder is looking to share his love of swimming by opening a swimming center in Odessa. This is something I feel like I was called to step up and be the person to get it going, Schroeder said. The proposed Permian Basin Swim School has a goal of opening in 2025 with a proposed location on Billy Hecks Road. Having worked on the project for more than a year, Schroeder is planning a fundraiser to raise money. Scheduled for August the 23rd at Milson's Legends Honky Tonk Saloon, 6900 Sleepy Hollow Street, the event will include dinner, an open bar, live music, and a silent auction. Tickets for sponsorship levels at $5,000, $3,000, and $1,500 are still available and include advertising options and swim lessons. Schroeder said individual tickets sold in pairs could also become available. He said the response from friends and community members has been overwhelming. The way they've given me advice and putting their hard-earned dollars behind something I'm starting makes me want to do the best I can do, Schroeder said. PSP encourages community participation to secure TxDOT funding. The Permian Strategic Partnership, PSP, invites members of the Texas Permian Basin community to join in securing financial support from the Texas Department of Transportation. The Texas Department of Transportation, TxDOT, has unveiled its draft 2025 Unified Transportation Program, UTP, that charts the course for the next decade, with $3.9 billion in funding allocated for the Odessa District. The projects funded by the UTP will greatly benefit residential and commercial traffic, guaranteeing increased accessibility, improved travel experiences, and heightened road safety. As proud residents of the Permian, we have a crucial stake in securing this financial support. The Commission is accepting public comments until August the 5th, and we ask that you join us in voicing support for this much-needed funding, a news release said. More information and a link to participate can be found at permianpartnership.org/2025UTP.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.